Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Bambi the Reckoning. It's directed by Dan Allen, written by Felix Salten and Reese Warrington, starring Roxanne McGee as Zana, Russell Jeffrey Banks as Andrew, Samira Mighty as Harriet, Ari Lehman as Benji. Corey, every time you put Ari Lehman in the notes, we lose money. We're finally starting to get ahead here.
I know, I fucked it up.
Way to fuck up. Damn it. I'm like Ron Burgundy. I'm like, you know, go fuck yourself, San Diego. What is it, Thomas Melhoran? Yeah, Tom Melhoran is Benji and Nicola Wright as Mary. The plot of the movie is, after a mother and son get in a car wreck, they soon become hunted by Bambi, a mutated, grief-stricken deer on a deadly rampage seeking revenge for the death of his mother. But first, Corey, true horror story. Looked in the mirror this morning, my beard, an absolute nightmare. Dry, wild, looked like it clawed its way out of a crypt.
That's terrifying, man. Did you hit it with that beard octane?
Oh, yeah. Beard wash, conditioner, beard oil brought it back from the dead.
Fellas, don't let your beard turn into a creature feature. Keep it alive and kicking with Beard Octane.
And right now, hit beardoctane.com. Use code 30screams10. Get 10% off. Save some cash and save your beard from becoming a horror show.
Bad beard day? We've had plenty. Beard Octane's the fix. We swear by it.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Bambi, The Reckoning?
Against all odds, this actually impressed me. And yes, I'm once again exposing myself as a total mark for childhood nightmare movies because Disney fucking ruined me. But seriously, for a film that probably had to borrow money from a lemonade stand, the CGI looked pretty legit.
Yeah, I thought the CGI actually looked really well. I had no complaints about it. Obviously, there's some things here and there that was like, it was okay. But Bambi himself looked great. However, looked like a fucking moose at how ginormous that deer was.
Definitely like, a mutated.
Yeah, so if it's a mutated deer, which it was, it had to have made it bigger, like this Toxic Avenger type shit.
It's got Ant-Man's, the Pym particle?
Yeah, exactly. He's got that. You know, like in his spare time, he likes to go in the quantic realm or whatever the fuck it's called. What the hell is it called?
Quantum realm.
Quantum realm. Yeah, quantum realm. There we go. Okay. You know what it was? I said quantric, right? I was thinking...
Tantric?
No, not tantric, you dick.
Yes,
that's a band. I haven't listened to them like in ages. Probably since they were on the radio. I don't listen to that stuff.
I don't even know what that soft-ass shit.
What?
Soft-ass bitch-ass shit.
Soft-ass bitch-ass shit. Okay.
Trick-ass shit.
Trick-ass mark-ass bitch-ass bitch shit. Okay. All right. So, yeah, Bambi is basically the Toxic Avenger. It starts off actually pretty cool. It has like this whole story mode deal. Looks like it's like hand-drawn, similar to that of the Blood and Honey series. Blood and Honey 1 and 2.
That was the first thing I noticed was the book.
Yeah.
I mean, they're keeping true to everything they've been doing in the Pooniverse so far.
The Pooniverse, yes.
I hate that still, but...
What? No, you don't. You love it.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
But yeah, storybook, I'm glad they kept it. Whoever is narrating it, telling you the story of Bambi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you said, similar to the Winnie the Pooh movies and Peter Pan, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is actually the fourth movie. I think, I don't know if Pinocchio came out yet. But
no, I don't think it did yet. I think that's next on the list, but I could be wrong. So yeah, the Pooniverse, I think so far, pretty decent start. I mean, we have... Like, Blood and Honey, the first one was good. The second one was fucking great. Second one, they were like, you know what? We have a budget now. Let's fucking amp things up a little bit. And then Neverland Nightmare comes out. And that is fucking fantastic.
Yep.
I thought that was great. So I will say this. I don't think Bambi is as strong as Blood and Honey 2 or Neverland Nightmare.
No, this but, is, I hate to say it, but it's the worst of this universe so far.
I would say that.
But I don't then want again, to say, how do you make a, it's a deer. It's a movie about a deer.
Yeah.
Like the exactly. There's just not a ton of room there to be creative. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, deer. The deer's not talking. It can't like develop this, like this whole fucking story arc or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like you can't really relate to it. Whereas you have the Blooded Honey characters who can talk, or, you know, Peter Pan in Neverland Nightmare, who like you can actually connect with because it's an actual person fucking doing shit. So with Bambi, you don't really have that. It's just a monster on the screen going around smashing into vehicles and spearing people and cutting people in half somehow. All that shit.
Also beheading people a lot.
There was a literally lot of beheadings.
Just bites the top of their head and plucks it off.
Yeah.
Like it's nothing.
Yeah, like it's a fucking grape or whatever.
Yeah.
Just pulling it off. Yeah, there was one death where I thought that was actually pretty cool. Just ripped right off. And it was those kind of effects that actually looked pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
So they must have made like enough money from the Pooh movies, the Blood and Honey movies initially to go, you know what? We're going to fund this a little bit more to have some decent looking CGI. And overall, yeah, the CGI was great for the most part. Even the bunnies look great. Like I was starting to question whether like they were using animatronics for some of the bunnies because they did look really good.
So, I love that, though, how they managed to they crammed in a bunch of the characters from the OG Disney movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like this one, obviously you have the bunnies or Thumper.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you caught it, but there was that one scene where they were showing the computer screens in that lab.
I did see that.
And you
did
see I Flower? Miss
this? No, I didn't. I fucking skimmed right past that.
Because
I was just about to say the same thing. I'm like, I didn't see any skunk, but clearly there was a reference to the skunk in all the files that they were going through. They were trying to capture all of these mutated animals. So the way the story starts off is that it's your typical Bambi story. Bambi's with his mom. She dies. Bambi's on his own. He starts to grow up. He finds another deer, falls in love, has a kid. Female deer, Doe. Doe a deer, female deer.
I can't remember the rest of that now.
What? Ray, a drop of golden sun.
Yeah.
Wait a sec. Wait a sec. Golden sun? Isn't that just piss?
That's a golden shower, Steve.
Oh. A golden shower.
Golden sun. Isn't that just...
Ah, golden sun. I love this. It's so warm. What the
Nothing
fuck?
Nothing like a golden shower in a kid's movie.
Golden shower and a golden sun. I don't know what the hell. Okay. So Bambi gets knocked out. The mother is killed. Bambi's knocked out. The child is taken. And then the next thing you see is a hazardous waste person dumping hazardous waste in the water. And this is how we've get the reckoning version of Bambi. And Bambi's just drinking the fucking toxic water. And then all of a sudden you see him do like this fucking shit like he's from Last of Us. You know, he's got fucking stuff growing off him, and he's all fucking decrepit looking, bony, all sorts of stuff. It looks awesome. I liked what they did with the whole, like, aesthetic of Bambi in this version. They took that deer and turned him into an absolute fucking monster.
Yeah, when I heard they were, when they announced that they were going to be doing a version of Bambi, I'm like, how do you make Bambi scary?
Bambi is not scary.
Right,
at all.
But they did it. They did, it reminded me of, like, what they did with Pennywise with the teeth.
Yeah.
From like the It movies,
mm-hmm.
That mutated teeth look.
Yes. Okay.
Like sharp fangs, mm-hmm. And obviously like the like rabies look around the mouth, the foam,
yep.
The blood. No, they did it. They did a really good job. That exceeded my expectations as far as what the deer itself looked like.
Yeah, I will say that. Okay, so like it did exceed my expectations regarding how it actually looked. Because, you know, when you hear these things, you're thinking like, oh, God, this is going to be fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, we see some movies where they're like a killer this or whatever. And we're just like, oh, my God, this is fucking awful. So luckily, in this case, Bambi looked great.
Mm-hmm.
Bambi looked absolutely terrifying. I do like some of the effects they did, not just on Bambi. But think about this. So you have Bambi running through this house and like running after all these people. And Bambi is smashing down like the doors and the walls and stuff like that. So I don't know if that was fully CGI or if they were actually fucking up the house and like just matching it up with the CGI version of Bambi, but it actually looked pretty good. It actually looked like Bambi was fucking tearing the place apart.
I kind of feel like it was CGI just because it, budget-wise, maybe it's cheaper to do CGI than to destroy an actual set.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I'm just guessing because it's a smaller film.
Yeah.
I saw on, I think it was IMDb, it didn't have a big budget.
Probably 50K?
No, I just have the box office numbers.
How did it do at the box office?
So USA and Canada, let's say 172,000.
Not bad.
Gross worldwide, 404,000. How do we see what the budget is? Is that Box Office Mojo?
Yeah, Box Office Mojo tells you like the budget and shit. I like looking this shit up. This is fun. Because then you really figure out how well a movie did. Because if we find out, it's like, oh, it only cost $25,000 and they made $400,000 out of it, then that's a pretty solid return.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially like, this isn't one of those movies that had a lot of marketing behind it. I mean,
it's
you're not
hard
seeing
for them to market this shit, though, because I don't know. It's just a smaller project. The whole thing is, and you see all this shit popping up on like TMZ and stuff where they're talking about the Pooniverse and it gets roasted.
Yeah.
You know, the people that are watching this shit are the diehard horror fans like us.
Yep.
It's not going to be in a movie theater.
No. Yeah, it's easy to roast these movies. Because on paper, let's face it, they're fucking Disney movies, childhood movies being made into horror films. And that's the way people are just generalizing it. Mm-hmm. Just going, they're making a movie. Well, they're putting this out and it's going to be a horror movie? This sounds dumb. They just do that right away.
Yeah. But I can't even remember a time for any of these movies where I would go on like a social media post and people were saying positive things.
Yeah.
When it got announced, you know?
Exactly. Right away, it's like, this is stupid. How dare they? Blah, blah, blah. All this. Like, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. When I first saw that, even I was taken back by it. I was like, really? Okay. But the first one makes so much sense after you see the second one. Because the first one is made to look like a retelling of the events. And the second one is just like, can you believe all this shit that happened? Blah, blah, blah. You know, they just kind of like, they refer to the movie and they even show a clip of the movie in Blood and Honey 2. So I thought, man, Blood and Honey 2 is fucking great. But yeah, people on paper, they'll just look at it and go, this looks stupid because they don't want their childhood affected. And I get it. You know, you want to protect your childhood, but... You know,
meanwhile, you have us.
Us fucking maniacs who are like, let's ruin our childhood.
We went and saw that shit in theaters.
Yeah, we did. It's
Which
fucking
that
great.
Theater's reopening, so maybe we'll get to see indie horror again around here.
Man, I would love that. I enjoyed going to the fucking theater and watching these movies, but those chairs, I had a hard time sitting in them.
Well, they redid the whole thing, so...
Yeah, you're sitting in there with your fucking arms like this. Like, you're right next to me, and I'm just kind of, like, scrunched together, and... We're watching, what were we watching? We were watching Long Legs. Yeah, Long Legs, for instance. And it wasn't even centered on the screen.
Yeah, it's like wasn't part of the projection, like, on the ceiling?
Yeah, it was fucking weird. It was just, like on the ceiling. Clearly, someone was like, they just tightened their legs and go, that's good enough. And that's how we watched it. We're just, like, looking up at the fucking thing. And... The way it starts off, though, it starts off with, like, that square look, and then it finally goes widescreen. I'm like, don't tell me we're watching a fucking little square-ass movie. There's, like, 6 feet of fucking, like, screen on each side.
We were both freaking out.
Yeah, like, we were both...
Like, loudly freaking out.
Yeah, we were not happy when that was going on. And then it, like, kind of fucking evened out, and we were all right. So I hope that this new theater is going to be awesome. I think it's going to be great. And it's not like AMC, so it's like a different type of theater. So I think you and I will still be able to see some of these indie movies, but who knows? Time will tell. Once we start hearing about any movies coming out, we'll just have to fucking look it up. I mean, I bet Terrifier 4 will be there.
I think Terrifier 4 is going to be everywhere now that the third movie did in theaters.
I think that
every theater on the fucking planet is going to be begging them to put that movie in it.
Yeah, I bet you're right. I bet we don't even have to worry about where we can see it.
Nope.
You know, no. They're going to still do the same thing. They'll still do the not rated. They don't even have to promote it at all. You know, they'll just be like, I don't know, they make a new Art the Clown action figure and throw it in stores and people eat it up and then you have a shit ton of people at the theater.
Dude, I don't have room for any more of this Terrifier shit.
Dude, I hear you.
I was telling you earlier, I have a Victoria one and another Art one on the way.
Mm-hmm.
There's another Art with a chainsaw dropping at the end of this month.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a bunch of Terrifier stuff. I got a few things, and I also have my Terrifier poster that I actually like. You've seen it before. Mm-hmm. The one that's like all silkscreened looking.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's from Spooky Empire. It's like an exclusive edition. I have it framed on my wall. So, yeah, we're going off topic here. So, yeah, CGI was great. You're probably right. It's probably like just CGI shit in the house because, yeah, this is like a shoestring budget type film. It's not like you don't have big actors or anything like that. It's very kind of basic, straightforward. It's clear that all the money went into the CGI because it has to.
Which I'm fine with. I mean, yeah. There weren't a lot of set pieces. They were in the woods for, yep, 90% of the movie. How many people are credited in this film? 13 people.
13 people. Okay. So, you know what would have been nice to see, though, is actually there was this one part, the bone part, like the bone area. Do you think that was Bambi's doing or that may have been bringing in the Winnie and the Pooh crew?
I don't know. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, maybe, you know, it just dawned on me right now, actually.
I wonder if they're in 100 Acre Woods.
See, that's what I'm thinking. And, like, the Pooniverse all takes part in the 100 Acre Woods.
All right. Scott Chambers, when you're making the next movie, you decide to use that, just hit up our lawyer. He'll tell you how to send us payment.
Yep. We don't ask for much, but we'll take a payment. Thank you. Because, yes, this movie's in the woods. Winnie the Pooh is clearly in the woods. The only thing, though, is Peter Pan is not in the woods. But then again, Peter Pan has Neverland.
Which isn't real, technically.
Yeah, it's a place in his own mind. He's so psychotic.
Maybe never, like the kids he was kidnapping, maybe that was maybe close relation to 100 Acre Woods.
Maybe.
I don't know. Like, that'd be cool if it
adjacent?
All. So the, 100 adjacent, Acre Woods adjacent?
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah, if all that ended up tying together somehow. Because at some point, there's going to be a similar movie like The Avengers, where they're, mm-hmm, all going to be in one movie. Now, how do you tie all that together? Other than everything we've seen before that Pooniverse movie or the grand finale or whatever. Mm-hmm. So all these films took place in the same area.
Yeah. Or somehow Peter Pan is the one that's controlling all of this. And he's able to get them all into Neverland. Like some sort of via vortex type deal. They teleport. They make their way to Neverland. And then you have your big Avengers-style fight at the end with Christopher Robbins and, I don't know, a bunch of other people fighting these characters. Good luck, by the way. They're psychotic killers. Like, Winnie the Pooh is massive. So, who knows? Time will tell what kind of insanity we'll be seeing, but could be fun. So, yeah, I mean, we're talking about the CGI. We should also talk about the kills. Some of the kills were actually fun in this. There was one. Actually, you know what? I want to talk about this because I thought this was kind of funny. I mean, you had your kill from Bambi pretty much right away. Bambi killed the taxi driver. But then we didn't see Bambi killing anyone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It was all accidental kills. So it was like one of the guys going and trying to find the taxi driver getting shot in the head by accident. And then you have Andrew, who's getting dragged by the RV by accident. So, like, we had two accidental kills right away. But then Bambi finally killed that one girl at the house by cutting her in half, which...
I love that shot, though.
Yeah.
How she's running away and he just gets her in the back. It's in slow motion, like some Max Payne shit.
Yep. And you see, like, the legs are kind of still running. And it's just nothing up top. Just the legs, just running around. So silly. But yeah, she's friggin' like cut in half, presumed dead. We find out later, not dead, somehow still alive, half a body. And like the hunters actually do end up killing her, put her out of her fucking misery. Because let's face it, if I was a half a body and I was just like, oh, my fucking intestines are hanging out and I'm bleeding everywhere, I think probably be one to like put out of my misery.
So that kind of annoyed me because you saved me put out of your misery, but this hunter guy stabbed her in the chin.
Yeah.
Why not the temple or, you know what I mean? Like a zombie, you're going to kill a zombie, you're going to hit it in the brain.
Yeah.
But he puts a knife through the bottom of her chin.
Well, the aorta. I mean, well, actually, it doesn't make sense. Didn't. She's bleeding like her fucking sieve anyways.
He put it right through her chin.
Through her chin, like there, yeah. Yeah.
If you go back and watch that scene, he didn't go for the jugular or any of that shit. He put it right through her chin.
Yeah, he probably should have just straight right in the head.
Steve,
knife
if
there.
I put a knife through your chin, you're going to survive.
Yeah, because if it goes straight up, it's just going to hit the roof of my mouth.
Unless I use like a Rambo knife.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Or Steve
and
Irwin,
it's just like, right? Oh, it's in
Crocodile
between
Dundee
my
knife.
Eyes. Oh, yeah, this is a knife.
This is a knife.
I watched that recently. That's a big ass fucking, that's a sword.
It is.
That's not a knife. That's a fucking sword. The thing is like this long.
I love those movies.
Oh, there's so much
they're
fun.
So funny,
man.
Especially was it the second one when he comes to the USA? Like
no, the first one's
York?
USA.
He's in New York, wait. Right?
Yeah, he's in New York in the first one. The second one, they go back to
Australia.
Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Where he does his like Home Alone deal in the middle of the fucking wilderness.
He sets up paint cans in the trees.
Yeah, he's doing all sorts of shit like
that. Thumbtacks on the forest floor.
Yep, exactly. Oh, not thumbtacks, micro machines. Micro machines.
Broken Christmas ornaments. Hey, did you know that this is the 35th anniversary of the original Home Alone this year?
35 years?
Yeah.
Didn't we just see it last year?
Well, like we saw it with Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Which he is doing the tour again this year, but I believe, yeah, I was reading because Disney has their annual like D23 that they do every year where they like unveil new shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're celebrating. I just saw the email yesterday. They're celebrating 35 years this year.
Oh, that's cool. 35 years, man.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking, hey. You know what still holds up?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have that. That's on my annual rotation. That and Christmas Vacation.
Nice. I actually started getting a little bit in the Christmas spirit as well. I watched Christmas movies back to back over the past 2 days.
Okay, what'd you watch?
So just before I
don't
hopped
say
on
Die
to,
Hard.
Well, I watched Die Hard, but that was like a few days before. Okay, so I'm counting three.
That's not a Christmas movie.
It
though,
is a Christmas count. Movie.
Bruce Willis even says it's not a Christmas
Bruce
movie.
Bruce Willis is wrong. There's your clip. Bruce Willis is wrong. Every part of that movie is Christmas.
So it just takes place during Christmas.
But Hans is talking about it's Christmas. It's time of miracles. And at the end, you know, he's got the tape for a package, not packages, for like presents on his back where he has like the gun taped to him. It's all Christmas.
He's not celebrating Christmas though. It just takes place during Christmas.
That's a Christmas party. It's a holiday party.
We're just going to yell at each other for the rest of this fucking podcast now.
That's fine.
It's not a fucking Christmas movie.
There is a.
We're going to have a poll. We're going to put a poll out to our 5 listeners. So our voting's going to be uneven.
I'm lucky I didn't just go. Fucking there's a movie. I would have broke my hand.
Again or whatever.
Again. My hand's fucked up right now. It's all green. All right, so I just watched Jingle All the Way.
Oh, man, I love that movie. I have a Turbo Man right next to me.
Nice. Nice. That's a good one. I just watched it right before I hopped on. I love it. And last night I watched The Night Before, which...
Is that the Seth Rogen one?
Yeah, Seth Rogen, James Gordon-Levitt, and... fucking Captain America there. Anthony Mackie, thank you. Yeah, so I watched that last night. That's a fun one. You know, I think a lot of people are sleeping on that one. You know, we'll probably have to do a Christmas special.
Yeah, but what could we do?
Dude, this Black Christmas.
You know what I wish we could watch?
What's
the
that?
Silent Night, Deadly Night remake.
Oh, just in time for us to shit all over it?
Yeah, because it has that guy that ruined the Halloween movie.
Oh, that motherfucker.
I mean, it was shit on its own, but he made it worse somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, that movie was shit. I hated it. So, yeah, we were supposed to do that for Halloween. It just got away from us. Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Maybe next year we'll do a triple play of fucking Halloween movies.
Yeah, we had that as a request by one of our listeners, and it just didn't happen.
Sorry. We'll do it in 2026.
We'll do it earlier if you want to pay us, listener.
There you go. Pin me, pay me.
Yeah.
Fuck money. Okay, the deaths were good. Bambi has, like, this fascination with just lopping people's heads off like left and right. I mean, there was one guy, he was just the hunter was taking a piss, and then this actually gave me a good jump scare, by the way. So he's standing there taking a piss and he's looking through the woods and he's thinking he's hearing Bambi in the background there, and then it turns into like the camera's facing him and all of a sudden Bambi just flies by and lops his head off. But it was such a loud sound that it made me jolt.
Not only like, that, but it was completely was out of nowhere.
That too. It was out of nowhere. So it was a mix of it being out of nowhere and the loud sound. So there was this other kill, though, where Bambi was biting the guy's legs so he couldn't fucking run away.
Yep.
Bambi wasn't fucking around, man. Not at all. Not at all. And then, of course, the guy's on the ground. Bambi's got the fucking hoof on his back. Bites his head, pulls it right off. Like it's, I don't know, like what, Corey? What do you want to think of it as?
I don't know. He just pulled his head off.
Just like popped it off like a, like nothing. Yeah.
Like a dick. Remember how when you were a kid, you take the dandelions and you just flip them off with your thumb?
Yeah, like that. Pop. Just pop right off.
Pop. It's a rip.
Yep, it's a rip. So that happened. So there was some stuff that kind of confused me about this movie, though. The
like
grandmother.
Them not explaining the grandmother. Why?
Thank
she
you.
Could, you, yep. you. Okay, I knew exactly where you were going.
No,
I was
going to
ask you if they talked about it at any point because I missed it.
No, they didn't talk about it at all. So it's clear that the grandmother was like maybe senile, battling Alzheimer's, something like that, just super confused and just living in her own realm. But they made it seem like she had this telekinetic link to Bambi, but never explained at all. Like somehow she was able to like channel Bambi and see Bambi running and doing these things. And she knew like the mother and son showed up and they didn't even make any noise. Like they made it seem like the grandmother was a psychic.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that.
And never explained it.
Never explained it. Apparently, she's invincible because that whole place that she was in with the other hunter lady that was manning the cameras, that place blew the fuck up. And she was just hanging out there sitting.
Not even
Bambi
scratch.
Also didn't kill her. Bambi was like face to face with her. And yeah, I don't know. I can't really explain it. I thought it was kind of pointless, but they really harped on it.
They made several times where she had some sort of communication with Bambi.
Yeah, they made it like a central focus with zero explanation. So we don't know. I just thought that was a little weird. I don't think it was needed, to be honest. It didn't add anything to the story. It could have easily just been like a confused grandmother and she's dead weight and Bambi ends up killing her.
Yeah, like you said, it didn't add anything to the story because the story is about Bambi getting revenge, essentially.
Yes.
Right? But they never explain why this grandmother has this connection to Bambi.
Not an explanation at all. I thought it was weird. I thought the way it unraveled was a little weird, too, with the husband working with those hunters to hunt down Bambi, which, okay. And you know what? I probably should have seen it coming because they were talking about the toxic waste being dumped in, like, the woods and Bambi drinking it in the story. But then later on, we find out the reason why the father didn't go for that little, I don't know, family gathering is because he was hunting Bambi with these hunters in the same exact area. So, I don't know, you mean he could have did a drop-by. Be like, hey, how's it going? Just want to give you a heads up, though. I'm like in the middle of something, but I'll be right back. Like, he could have just did his thing, hunted Bambi, gone into the house, had a nice dinner with the family, and that's it. Okay, it wouldn't have been as fun of a movie if that happened. It would have just been like, I don't know, it would have been over. It would have been a short film, but it would have been a quick thing. So I'm going to pretty much just skip to like the end at this point. Or maybe we can talk about Thumper. Thumper looked pretty cool. Or actually, we already talked about how Thumper looked pretty cool with
the
CGI.
Yeah, we did. Are you on the Yetis?
Yes, I'm on the Yetis. No. So yeah, fuck it. Let's just get to the end because we're pretty much already there anyways. So
Wait. I don't know if we're going to, are we going to talk about the actual ending?
I don't know.
Do you want to talk?
You know what? Maybe we won't talk about the actual.
Okay.
Ending.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So, I am going to say, I'm not going to spoil this, but I do like the ending because they kind of flipped the script a little bit compared to the cartoon.
Yes. Okay. I do like what you're saying there. I agree. The ending was a nice bookend.
Yep. It kind of is a callback to the original. If you've seen the movie, like the cartoon, the Disney version from what, the 70s or whenever it came out. Right.
Yeah.
And there was a tiny thing they added to the ending, kind of flipped it around, and it kind of came full circle. And
yes.
I liked how it ended. So that's all I'm going to say without spoiling too much.
Fair enough. I won't spoil it either, but I thought the same exact thing, full circle. Like, that's the first thing I said when I saw that part. I was like, oh, shit, okay. Well, it now just completed the cycle, at least. So it got tied up in a nice bow
at the
end, for sure. So we won't give away the ending then. Some of the kills are great. CGI is great. Acting is fine. You know, it was what you'd expect. But I say we get into it at this point. Corey, what do you give Bambi the Reckoning?
So gets a 3 out of 5. I kind of said this before, but it's definitely my least favorite Pooniverse movie. But damn, the CGI team, they showed up like they were trying to get promoted out of this franchise.
Yep.
Bambi looked incredible and absolutely horrifying. Considering the budget was probably whatever they had left after buying Lunchables, it was impressive.
They were just paying people in peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at that point.
Yep. It was a little the Lunchables, you know, little circle crackers.
No, the Crustables.
Crustables. Uncrustables. Oh, man.
Those fucking, the little peanut butter and jelly shit, with all the edges cut off.
Dude, they have those always in the fucking... We have at the office, we have a prepared foods cabinet that they restock every week or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they just recently put Uncrustables in it. Them shits are never in stock. Everybody's buying those.
Yeah, they're fucking great. You know, usually keep them in the freezer though. So then you take them out, you let it thaw a little bit, then you have a nice cold peanut butter and jelly sandwich with no crust.
I've never heard of that in my life.
No?
In the freezer? I mean, yeah, it makes sense. I've just never heard it.
Yeah, that's where they store it. It's always stored in the freezer. Go to the freezer section. You'll see the Crustables right there. I wouldn't buy them. When I lived with an ex-girlfriend a long time ago, she would buy them all the time. So I would just fucking plow through them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a nice little snack. Like if you have kids, I don't have kids, but if you do, they're like a nice snack to give them. They're a little hungry. They want lunch, but they don't want anything big. Give them a Crustable.
Take this Uncrustable and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then later on, they can have their dino nuggets. And maybe I was going to say the smiley face French fries, but fuck those things. There's too much potato per bite ratio.
Of all things to complain about, potato per bite ratio. That's a hashtag.
Yeah. The PPB. The PPB ratio. It's funny. I was at work years ago, and I brought this up. About the potato per bite ratio.
Yeah.
And my manager at the time. Up? Yeah, I made that up.
No, just now.
No. Okay. I've had this one in the fucking holster for quite some time.
Okay.
So I told my manager that about potato wedges, about how they're good, but a little bit too much potato per bite ratio. And he goes, "What the hell did you just say?" I'm like, "Potato per bite ratio. Think about how much potato you're eating in one bite. Is it overwhelming or are you getting a nice mix of maybe crunchy and potato?" He's like, "Holy shit, I've never thought of it like that. You're right. There is a lot of potato per bite ratio in fucking potato wedges."
That is ADHD right there.
But that's how I feel about the potato per bite ratio. It's, you know what? Sit on it. It's going to make sense. You're going to look at the smiley face French fries and go, "Yeah, there's a lot of potato in those."
I hate this because I'm going to get, every time I eat a fucking tater tot now, I'm going to be like,
"No, potato,
what's the potato per bite ratio here?"
In my opinion, tater tots are the perfect potato per bite ratio. It's perfect.
Why? Because it's like a light crispy Kona on the outside and that chunky goodness in the middle?
Yes.
All right, so I don't understand your gripe with the smiley face, whatever the fuck now, if you think potato or tater tots are perfect. Because I feel like they're the same. You're talking about the fry on the outside, right? The batter or whatever?
Well, the batter on the outside, it's very light for the smiley face French fries. But when you bump into it, it's just a shit ton of potato.
We've been talking about potato per bite ratio. I look at the timer. It's been about 10 minutes.
I know. Okay, we have to stop because this is going to turn into one of those, porridge type situations.
Gruel.
Okay.
What else has excessive batter on it? How do you, corn dogs? We just had some really great corn dogs this weekend.
Oh yeah.
How'd you feel about the potato per bite ratio on your Korean corn dog?
Oh, because now that's a good point. Because yes, there is a shit ton of potato per bite ratio on that thing because it is covered in home fries, and then inside you have to get to the hot dog. So. My thinking is that the mix of the hot dog is offsetting the potato bite. Balancing it out.
Okay.
I should just get on with my review.
Yeah.
Because this is fucking crazy.
I forgot we
were, we were recording.
Doing something. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We had a purpose. We're not just talking about
PBP
ratios. All right, Steve, let's hear your review.
Okay, but real quick, It's going to be a thing now. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. People are just going to be like, oh, fuck. Fuck. And he's so right. He's so right. Okay.
We're going to blow up. That's our big break.
This
people
is what we needed.
It.
We this, needed this theory.
We're going to get this like
our
a measuring
theory.
Stick.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. So, my turn. Going to go in my review now. I'm landing with a 3 out of 5 on this one. The CGI work on Bambi was solid, but the story itself felt disjointed at times, leaving me unsure about certain characters' motivations, especially the grandmother's clairvoyant ability to channel Bambi. Just thought it was weird, didn't make sense, didn't add anything to the movie. There were moments where my attention actually drifted, and I found myself checking the time more than I'd like. That said, I did appreciate the bold direction of turning Bambi into a sort of Toxic Avenger-style creature following their toxic waste injection where they're, you know, drinking the toxic waste from the water. Even if the logic behind it felt a bit loose, overall, it's an okay installment in the growing Pooniverse. It's far from the high bar set by Bloodhoney 2 and Neverland Nightmare, but still a reasonably entertaining addition with more clearly on the way. Bambi the Reckoning is available now in digital. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30ScreamsOrLess@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30ScreamsOrLess. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.